This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And what a great day it is. Comes with one of the great careers in the history of American arts, yep, and the history of American leadership, the career of Ronald Reagan. In this very special show, what was so great about President Reagan? And the music that we choose here and throughout this special show, not the music of Hail to the Chief, not the music of Ruffles and Flourishes, not the patriotic music that President Reagan heard a great deal when he was president, but music that characterized his favorite film when he was an actor in Hollywood. He made more than 50 films. King's Row, the music of which is featured right here, was his favorite among them. And it's appropriate, because Reagan never apologized for being an actor, nor should he. He had an artistic temperament, as Peggy Noonan and other of his biographers have pointed out. He was somebody who was interested in drawing, he was interested in writing, and he took acting enormously seriously. There's a very, very revealing story about President Reagan that Lou Cannon tells. Lou Cannon was the reporter who covered the Reagan governorship when he became governor of California more closely than anyone else, and he wrote two volumes on Reagan, both excellent. One of them is called Governor Reagan, His Rise to Power. And in that volume, Cannon, who came to the same conclusion that I have or anybody else who's looked at Reagan's movies, conclusion is the guy was good on screen. This nonsense about, oh, Reagan was a failed actor, he was second banana to a chimpanzee, we'll get to that one in a moment. It's all nonsense. Here is what Lou Cannon writes. He writes, Reagan's competence on the screen was rarely in dispute as long as he was viewed as just an actor. After he became a conservative spokesman and a candidate, some of those who disapproved of his political views also disparaged his acting. Such retrospective criticisms, Reagan told me, this is Lou Cannon in 1968, touch an exposed nerve. Reagan could accept most political attacks with equanimity, but he hadn't expected that his adversaries would also make fun of his films. His defensiveness on this score is understandable. Acting was not a phase of Reagan's life, but the essence of it. He spent 30 years of his life in Hollywood, and he did not cease being an actor when he left. When asked, before he ran for office, what kind of governor he would be, Reagan said, I don't know. I've never played a governor before. I remember, writes Lou Cannon, one particular interview in 1968, this is when he was already governor, late at night on a campaign plane when Reagan was returning home to Los Angeles after spending several days on the road campaigning for Republican candidates. Both of us had exhausted political subjects, and Reagan turned to stories about the days he had spent in Hollywood and what had happened there. I listened in fascination when suddenly Reagan, who was tired, interrupted one of his stories to scornfully denounce, quote, this New York Times kind of business of referring to me as a B-picture actor. He went on to list a long line of first-rate actors with whom he had appeared, often getting better reviews than they did. No one referred to them as B-picture actors, he said, with an intensity that I had never seen before. Then he calmed down, paused, and almost shyly added, I'm proud of having been an actor. And with some reason. I had my own little experience like this. I appeared on The Tonight Show many years ago. It was in the 80s while Reagan was president. And as a film critic, a lot of people would always try to get me into this business of making fun of Ronald Reagan, always the worst actor ever. We should have nominated him in Golden Turkey Awards for the worst actor in Hollywood history. And I just never saw it. I mean, even before, actually, I supported Reagan when he ran for president in 1980. But the point was, it just never seemed to me that this was fair at all. And I particularly defended Bedtime for Bonzo. Bedtime for Bonzo is a very funny movie where Reagan does a great job playing alongside a chimpanzee. And that's not easy to do, to keep your composure. And I appeared on The Tonight Show one night. I was talking about a book that I'd written called Hollywood Hall of Shame. And then the director of the show, Freddie DeCordoba, who's a director, executive producer, big shot on The Tonight Show at the time with Johnny Carson, came up to me. He said, I never met you before, but I want to thank you for defending Bonzo. I said, excuse me? It turns out Freddie DeCordoba, who then went on to work on The Tonight Show, was the director of Reagan's very funny movie, Bedtime for Bonzo. But Reagan was not just somebody who was proud of what he did on screen. He liked the entire Hollywood community. His best friends were actors. His closest friends, perhaps ever, were actors William Holden and Robert Taylor. He lost it completely. He broke up completely when he spoke at Robert Taylor's funeral. These were people with whom he was close, and he also grew close to another actor that he met in a fine movie called Brother Rat about the Virginia Military Institute. He met there an actress named Jane Wyman. And Jane Wyman was, when they first met, not as far along in her career as Reagan was. She then later went on to much greater success than he achieved. She won the Academy Award playing a deaf-mute girl in a movie called Johnny Belinda, but that was after they had already broken up. They married. They had a daughter, Maureen. They adopted a son, Mike Reagan, my colleague in the world of talk radio today. And the marriage between Jane Wyman and Ronnie Reagan was considered an all-American, perfect marriage. Jane Wyman, interestingly, was a devout Catholic, and apparently later in life she began going to Mass every single day. She was pert, blonde, sexy, enormously talented and bright. She had been married twice before she married Ronald Reagan. He, of course, assumed the marriage would be forever. But in part, the marriage blew apart because Reagan became obsessed with something else. He became obsessed with union politics. After he came back from the war, the Hollywood community was torn apart by strikes and attempts by a very determined and organized group of communists to basically influence and take over the film industry and to use the unions to do it. And Reagan was appalled at this. He was elected president of the Screen Actors Guild in 1947. And then he was reelected four times in a row after that. He was elected five times. And then after that, they brought him back in 59 to be president of the guild to help them to lead a strike, a successful strike, against the studios. He was hugely popular among his fellow actors as somebody who could walk the line between the left. He was a New Deal liberal. He was an admirer of FDR. But he was definitely not a communist, and he was very much put off with the communists. His role in the Screen Actors Guild clearly took away from his career, and a number of terrible things happened for him. In 1947, he and Jane Wyman, they had a baby who was born premature, several months premature, and then died shortly after the birth, which was devastating to both of them. Reagan also himself almost died. He had viral pneumonia. He was in the hospital. He was delirious. He was, in his delirium, imagining, for instance, that he was talking with Humphrey Bogart, arguing over the part in Casablanca. He had originally been cast as the lead, as Rick in Casablanca with Ann Sheridan, but then they bumped it up at Warner Brothers from Ann Sheridan and Ronald Reagan to Ingrid Bergman and Humphrey Bogart, and the rest is history. In any event, Reagan survived that. He survived a terrible injury that his son Ron still talks about today, which was devastating to his father, where he shattered his thigh in six pieces playing a studio softball game, and he even survived the end of his marriage. Jane Wyman started divorce proceedings in 1948 after all of these terrible things had happened, saying that she became frustrated with Reagan's emotional detachment until, quote, finally there was nothing in common between us. Reagan himself commented, maybe I should have let someone else save the world and save my own home, as Jane Wyman walked out of his life with the two kids. So he was left single, but it was actually also through the Screen Actors Guild, which had been so much a big part of his life, that he met the true love of his life, Nancy Davis, who was a young actress who was terribly worried in 1951. She had read an article in a Hollywood newspaper that listed her as a communist sympathizer. And so who do you talk to? She was not a communist sympathizer. She came from a conservative home. Her stepfather was a prominent surgeon and a Republican. And she was emphatically not a communist. So she went to the president of the Screen Actors Guild. She asked for a personal meeting with him. Apparently, there were people who said, well, Ronald Reagan is so busy. He's the president of the guild. She wanted to meet him personally because she had heard he was single. And, well, he was Ronald Reagan. They hit it off almost immediately. And, of course, their love story became one of the inspiring love stories of the century. So if the Screen Actors Guild contributed to the end of his marriage to Jane Wyman, it also contributed to the beginning of the marriage that changed his life and changed America. As this special show continues...
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 2 decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news. News on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Minutes after the hour on this special edition of the Michael Medved Show, a tribute to President Reagan called What Was So Great About President Reagan. We will be joined a little bit later on by President Reagan's son, Ron Reagan, with his own recollections of his father. Talking about President Reagan's role as a 5-time president of the Screen Actors Guild, and still a legendary president of the Screen Actors Guild. My brother, Harry Medved, worked for 11 years for Screen Actors Guild. He did not overlap with President Reagan. It was much later. But even people who hated President Reagan's politics, who were not Republicans, who were not conservatives, acknowledge that when it came to leading the screen actors in a difficult time in the industry, Reagan was remarkable because he stood up to people. He could talk to anybody. He didn't lose his temper. He didn't make enemies. And he had a real ability to get people to focus and to bring people together. One of the things about him in terms of dealing with what was a real communist menace in the entertainment industry was he wrote, looking back on those experiences after World War II when there was a communist presence in Hollywood, he says, "I was all for kicking communists out of Hollywood. But some members of the House Un-American Activities Committee, ignoring standards of truth and fair play, ganged up on innocent people and tried to blacklist them." He mentioned here his close friend Jimmy Cagney and Humphrey Bogart, with whom he worked at Warner Brothers and he admired greatly. And he says, "Other good Americans were falsely accused." Reagan himself went to testify as a friendly witness before the House Un-American Activities Committee. He swore in. He took an oath. And while he was taking an oath, testifying under oath, he indicated that Hollywood was taking care of itself and didn't need or welcome intrusion by the federal government. Reagan always had some questions about the power of the federal government. He said in his testimony, 99% of us are pretty well aware of what is going on, and I think we have done a pretty good job in our business of keeping these people's activities curtailed. I do not believe the communists have ever at any time been able to use the motion picture screen as a sounding board for their philosophy or ideology. He also opposed blacklists. He certainly, when people were revealed as communists, he wanted them to be publicly revealed. But the idea of a studio blacklist where there'd be a secret list of people who couldn't work as a union president, that was something that he never supported. But there is no question that he moved to the right in those days, and he became active in Democrats for Eisenhower. He had grown up as a Democrat. His father, Jack Reagan, was very much a Democrat. His father, Jack Reagan, even had a job back in Dixon, Illinois, handing out welfare during the New Deal because his father had a tough time keeping the family together. And Reagan greatly admired Franklin Roosevelt, particularly admired his leadership in foreign affairs. But after he came home from the war, he moved progressively into the Republican camp. He was active with Democrats for Eisenhower in 52 and 56. He campaigned for Richard Nixon over John Kennedy in 1960. But then the real turning point for Reagan came as his movie career was winding down. And his movie career was winding down partially because of his age, partially because of changing fashions, partially because he was identified as a star from a certain bygone era. And he did get fine jobs on TV. He got a great job with the General Electric Theater, where he was a corporate spokesman for General Electric. He hosted their anthology show, which it lasted for 8 years. Half of those 8 years, it was one of the top 20 shows on network television, so it was very successful. He was a very successful TV star, not quite a has-been actor. But while he was with General Electric Theater, he also became very deeply involved with the Barry Goldwater campaign, and he started campaigning all over the country for Barry Goldwater, A Choice Not an Echo, the first real conservative to get the Republican nomination for President of the United States. And here, there were some people who were so impressed with Reagan's campaign speech for Barry Goldwater that they actually paid money, invested money, to have Reagan deliver the speech to a live audience. It was called The Speech. He wrote every word of it himself. And then it was broadcast October 27th on the eve of the election in 1964. And all of a sudden it changed American politics. This is part of what Ronald Reagan had to say.
"If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the antheap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course.
These are inspiring words. And again, imagine a popular actor delivering those words on national TV. President Reagan, not yet President Reagan, just then actor Ronald Reagan, host of GE Theater, continued.
We have so many people who can't see a fat man standing beside a thin one without coming to the conclusion the fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one. So they're going to solve all the problems of human misery through government and government planning. Well, now, if government planning and welfare had the answer, and they've had almost 30 years of it, shouldn't we expect government to read the score to us once in a while? Shouldn't they be telling us about the decline each year in the number of people needing help, the reduction in the need for public housing? But the reverse is true. Each year, the need grows greater. The program grows greater. We were told 4 years ago that 17 million people went to bed hungry each night. Well, that was probably true. They were all on a diet.
Okay, he continued, and those words still have impact today.
Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Now, let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender.
These words are just as relevant today as they were then, as is the conclusion by Ronald Reagan.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
All of a sudden, people heard this speech. They heard it around the country. No, it didn't win the election for Goldwater. Goldwater lost in a landslide. But it got people to look at Ronald Reagan as a new voice in American politics who needed to transition from his television work on General Electric Theater on 20 Mule Team Borax, the Death Valley days, where he was representing 20 Mule Team Borax, to transit into active politics and to change the course of American history. What was so great about President Reagan continues.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. In Minnesota, flags are flying at half-staff to pay tribute to two police officers and a paramedic who were killed while responding to a domestic abuse call in a Minneapolis suburb early Sunday. The tragic incident occurred in Burnsville, where a suspect in a house initiated gunfire toward the first responders. Authorities have confirmed the death of the suspect during that shooting. As the deadline to fund the government approaches, Congress has entered a two-week recess. Lawmakers are slated to return to Capitol Hill on February 28th, just 2 days before the March 1st deadline to fund certain government agencies, while the rest must be funded by March 8th. Former President Jimmy Carter has been under hospice care for a year. The Carter family issuing a statement Sunday expressing gratitude for the numerous displays of affection they've received. During his time in hospice care, the former president marked his 99th birthday and mourned the loss of his wife, Rosalyn. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, special edition of the Michael Medved Show, a tribute to President Ronald Reagan, entitled What Was So Great About President Reagan. A lot of people are confused about the transition that Reagan made from his work as an actor to running for governor of California the first time. It was not like Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he went on The Tonight Show and all of a sudden announced, oh gosh, I'm running for governor. Reagan had been making the transition into politics for a long time. He had been politically involved, obviously, as he was a very popular, powerful, successful president of the Screen Actors Guild. When he represented General Electric, he came to a parting of the ways with General Electric, at least according to some sources, because he had been critical of the Tennessee Valley Authority, a huge government boondoggle, or liberals believe a huge government benefit to people. And anyway, it was a big, big government New Deal program. He was critical of it in one of the speeches he gave around the country. It turned out that GE, his employer, got a lot of money in TVA contracts, and that was considered not the right thing to do. In any event, he had met people in factories all around the country. There were more than 130 GE factories around the country at that time, and Reagan was responsible for going out and speaking to all of them and meeting ordinary working people and listening to their concerns. And he spoke everywhere. Nobody wrote speeches for them. He wrote his own speeches on little 3x5 cards that he would then shuffle and arrange in different ways. And it all came together with the speech, as it was referred to, the great speech he gave on behalf of Barry Goldwater that was telecast. And then it was broadcast again because the response was so overwhelming. And all of a sudden, people were looking at this very likable, very popular actor, Ronald Reagan, and saying, well, wait a minute, obviously this guy has a political future. His daughter, Patty Reagan, didn't find it somehow shocking or disconcerting when all of a sudden he began to shift his main focus from acting to politics. She said that that's why this whole thing about the shift into politics, that it happened suddenly, I never saw it as sudden. And I don't think my brother would have thought it was sudden either. Actually, Ron Reagan was too young. He was 6 years old at the time that the speech was delivered. All they talked about at home, at the kitchen table, when they were driving together, when they were doing horseback riding together, was politics, as long as Patty Reagan could remember. This was a factor in Ronald Reagan's life. He had also become friends with a number of people who were active in Republican politics and who wanted very much to see him get into politics. The obvious race for him to make was for governor of California. And from the beginning, the people who wanted Reagan to run for governor of California very clearly understood that if he won that particular race, he would be an instant presidential possibility. The problem was the sitting governor of California was a guy named Pat Brown, who had a huge reputation as a giant killer. Now, today the name Pat Brown doesn't mean much of anything. He's the father of the now Attorney General of California, Jerry Brown, and part of a California political dynasty. But in 1966, Pat Brown was known as a giant killer. He had run for governor the first time in 1958 against a senator, U.S. Senator William Noland, who was the Senate minority leader who was planning to run for president. And Pat Brown just wiped him out, killed him, because Pat Brown was sort of earnest, unpretentious, had working class appeal. And then in 1962, he ran against a guy named Richard Nixon for governor of California. And again, Brown won in a landslide, which helped to drive Nixon out of politics, so everybody thought, until Nixon came back after he lost that race and ran for president in 68. But in any event, in 66, Pat Brown looked very formidable. The problem was things were going wrong in the state of California, and a lot of people could see it. The state had been very proud of the university system. The University of California at Berkeley, UCLA, and the other new campuses that Pat Brown had helped to build, which were very expensive and the state was proud of, but they had the free speech movement at Berkeley, where the students were suddenly disrupting things. There were riots in Watts. And generally, there was a sense that the California dream was going wrong. Reagan understood this differently from the way leftists did. He suggested that there was a prairie fire. There was a feeling of unrest, of unease throughout the country and throughout the state of California. In the campaign, Pat Brown made a mistake. At one point, he even ran a TV ad that said, "Remember, it was an actor who shot Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth," trying to associate Ronald Reagan with all his likability with the assassin for Abraham Lincoln was a mistake. It was also a mistake when Brown dismissed him as a dummy actor. Reagan addressed that by not giving formal speeches in most places, just going around and doing questions and answers. He won in a landslide. He became governor of the Golden State and then parlayed that into one of the most consequential presidencies in American history, which we'll talk about in this special show, What's So Great About President Reagan?
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. A new study of the aging process demolishes one of the chief leftist claims about health care, that government control can eliminate inequality. The research conducted by Harvard and University College London looked at more than 25,000 people over 50 in the U.S. and the U.K. In both countries, subjects with higher net worth enjoyed an identical advantage of 8 to 9 disability-free years compared to those with little or no personal wealth. The results shocked experts who expected that Britain's highly touted government-funded National Health Service would produce more equal outcomes than the United States. Data strongly suggests the real difference in health and longevity reflect common patterns in both countries, where the poor are far more likely to smoke, to consume unhealthy diets, to abuse drugs and alcohol, and shun regular exercise. In both America and Britain, health depends less on government programs than on lifestyle choices we can control. I'm Michael Medved.
Minutes after the hour on the special edition of the Michael Medved Show. Hail to the chief. Well, not quite yet. Reagan was elected governor of California in 1966. He won by a landslide, and the expectations of a lot of people in California is he would be some kind of right-wing radical. I remember at the time, my parents, who were very much Democrats at the time, were terrified of what Governor Reagan would bring. After all, he was just an actor. He turned out to be a hugely successful governor, was reelected in a landslide 4 years later, and worked surprisingly well with the Democrats who continue to dominate the state legislature. They actually took a disastrous state budget deficit. Reagan came in as governor in much the same way Schwarzenegger did, where the state finances had been wrecked. Governor Brown had been keeping it a secret, and he had to turn things around. He cut back the growth in government spending. Welfare was reformed. He made one big mistake, as he saw it, which was signing a liberalized abortion bill. But even that liberalized abortion bill, which he signed in 1967, despite the fact that Reagan was always consistently pro-life in his proclamations, even that bill didn't go nearly as far as Roe v. Wade. What was wrong with that bill, as he found out, was that many of the women were making abusive use of the provision in the bill that allowed for the health of the mother to be included. With Reagan as governor, he could have gone for a third term. He decided not to because he was interested in the presidency. He left the governorship in 1974 and planned to challenge Gerald Ford for president of the United States. Ford had become president and continued what Reagan did not care for, which was a detente foreign policy, not confronting the Soviet Union, not confronting communism, and not moving in the direction of reducing government, which he cared about with all his heart. The challenge to Gerald Ford, a sitting president in 1976, was done despite the fact that overwhelmingly the Republican Party establishment did not want to see Reagan in the White House. He lost the New Hampshire primary by just 1,500 votes and then lost primary after primary after primary. His campaigning dried up, but then he turned it around in North Carolina. The whole story of the campaign of 76 was hugely exciting. It was the last time that a nomination was decided at the convention. It was decided with the Mississippi delegation. Had Reagan done better with the Mississippi delegation, he could have been the nominee, unseating an incumbent president. But then would he have lost to Jimmy Carter? As Gerald Ford ended up losing, he might have. What made President Reagan so great? Coming up.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, special edition of the Michael Medved Show, a tribute to President Ronald Reagan, entitled, What Was So Great About President Reagan? Reagan handled his loss in 76, his loss of the pursuit of the nomination, with so much grace that he was the obvious front runner, despite his age, in 1980. Now, his age was a serious factor. He was going to be turning 70, just weeks after being inaugurated, if he won the election. And yet, the winning of the election became much more likely, given the kind of America that we had under Jimmy Carter. I mean, please listen to this. It is totally shocking. We had 12% inflation rate under Jimmy Carter, over 8% unemployment, interest rates of 21%. For those of you who are homeowners, think about that for a moment. This was the misery index under Jimmy Carter. Plus, in Jimmy Carter's last year as president, the Sandinistas took over in Nicaragua. The Iranian militants under Ayatollah Khomeini took over in Iran and seized 52 hostages at the American embassy. And the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. I mean, things couldn't be much worse, and that was the point that Reagan made in running against Jimmy Carter. He was elected in a landslide. He brought with him a Republican Senate. And then I know that when people look back on the Reagan presidency, they often think of it, oh my goodness, he turned the economy around, he lowered taxes, and yes, he did. His tax cuts were so substantial, he reduced the top tax rate from 70% to 50%. Across the board, 25% tax cuts. Reagan's first formal act as president, January 29, 1981, signing legislation as a day of thanksgiving to honor our safely returned hostages. Because the Iranians, as soon as Reagan came in, they said, you know, we're not going to mess with this guy. He's a crazy cowboy. Let's bring those hostages home. Then on March 30th, right after he had become president, he's working on trying to get his radical reforms, tax reforms and budget reforms through Congress. And he's shot outside a Washington hotel by John Hinckley. And he was much more seriously injured than people realized at the time. The bullet missed his heart by less than an inch, and it was Providence that spared him. August 3rd, 1981, air traffic controllers, PATCO, go on strike. Reagan gives them 48 hours to return to work and fires those who don't. To give you a little bit more perspective on what was going on, 1982, nearly a million people joined together in a demonstration in Central Park in New York City. More people then demonstrated against Reagan. They're demonstrating for a nuclear freeze. than even demonstrate against President Bush. October 28th, the Soviet Premier Leonid Brezhnev condemns the U.S. for its arms buildup. November 2nd, in congressional elections, this is his first congressional elections, Democrats win 26 seats in the House. Republicans managed to hold on in the Senate. And it continued. January, 83, Reagan's approval rating in the midst of a recession plummets to 35%, like President Bush. January 31st, Reagan submits his fiscal 84 budget to Congress, $189 billion deficit. A combination of the recession, tax cuts, and an increase in defense spending are to blame. Advisors urge Reagan to either raise taxes or cut defense. Reagan rejects the advice and vows to stay the course. January 20th, 84, Secretary of State Charles Schultz designates Iran as a sponsor of international terrorism. February 9th, poll shows 38% approve of Reagan's foreign policy, 49% disapprove. April 16th, and this is a re-election year, Reagan signs directive for aggressive posture to terrorism. The new policy is set forth in a document officially designated National Security Decision Directive 138. August 11th, 1984. During a check prior to a radio broadcast, Reagan jokes into the mic that he's ordered the USSR bombed. My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. This caused a big dip in the polls and briefly made the election close. Well, the election didn't end up close. Reagan won in a landslide. He took 49 out of 50 states. Now, how could it be with all this bad news that I'm talking about? Character counts. The American people knew what Reagan stood for, what he wanted, and who he was. We'll conclude with this section of what made President Reagan so great. Coming up.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Anthony Hopkins plays Dr. Sigmund Freud during the last days of his life at the very beginning of World War II, who gets a surprise visit from an Oxford Don, C.S. Lewis, played by Matthew Good, as they fiercely debate the existence of God in the audacious and intriguing Freud's Last Session.
Why would you come here to see me if you disagree so passionately with my views?
You've insisted all your lives that the very concept of God is ludicrous.
Have you frightened off your professor yet?
That's Freud's daughter, Anna, played by Liv Lisa Fries, who provides some additional background during these long, ferocious debates. Based on a book and a stage play, the movie reveals at the end that Freud and Lewis never actually met. But the world-class acting here and the evocative detail about Freud's home and study in London make you wish that they had and that someone recorded the interchange. As it is, this movie does a better job asking questions than providing answers. Rated PG-13, 3 stars for Freud's Last Session.
55 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show. Under President Reagan, the economy turned around. Reaganomics worked. Supply-side economics worked while cutting tax rates across the board and then reducing the complexity of the tax system in 1986. All of this Reagan achieved while revenue actually went up because the economy boomed. Unemployment was cut nearly in half. Inflation was cut by two-thirds, the rate of inflation. Interest rates were cut by more than two-thirds. The nation entered the biggest peacetime expansion 7 solid years in history. And President Reagan did it. Was the deficit a problem? Sure, it was a problem. Was the failure to deal with Social Security the way that President Reagan wanted to a problem? Sure, it was a problem. Was Iran-Contra a problem? Yes, it was. But one important thing to remember about that is this whole scandal did not involve people taking money for their own good. What it involved was people trying to fight communism in Central America, where we were ultimately successful and we got free elections in Nicaragua and got rid of the communists in Nicaragua. It was to fight communism in Central America while trying to use the Iranians to liberate American hostages who were being slaughtered in Beirut. One of the things that's striking reading about the Reagan presidency is how much of it he was dealing with Islamo-Nazi terror and dealing with it as forcefully as he knew how, bombing Libya when it was appropriate after Americans had been murdered. But what was it that allowed President Reagan to endure terrible ill health, to endure an assassination attempt and a bullet in his chest, to endure two different incidents of colon surgery. His wife, Nancy, had a mastectomy while they were in the White House. These were people who handled it all with gallantry and with optimism and with faith in God. One of the things that people say about President Reagan is he was always praying. He would not pray on his knees, but very often he would go to the back of a plane and just wave off his aides because he would be lost in prayer. He would pray sitting someplace. He prayed almost constantly. And one of the points that Peggy Noonan makes in her excellent book about President Reagan, the book is called When Character Was King, is that the true measure of this man was his character. She says that she has met many, many people who knew President Reagan or had some interaction with him, but she simply could not find an anecdote that reflected badly on him. If you want to, she wrote, you can bump into someone with a Reagan story just about anywhere you go. He's lived a long time and he's led many lives, but what has surprised and even astonished me is that the stories are almost invariably about his graciousness, generosity, good humor. I'm still searching for an anecdote about Reagan that truly reflects badly on him. When I talk to or read the works of people in politics, entertainment, or journalism who didn't admire or agree with him, they will, if they get going, tell you Reagan was lazy or naive or a bore. But they never say he was low or unkind or dishonest or untrustworthy. I think his character is the least criticized of any great political leader of the century. True greatness for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com. Only rarely does a new film come along to remind movie lovers of Hollywood's golden age some 80 years ago. Greyhound, starring Tom Hanks, is that sort of old-fashioned thriller, notably enriched by state-of-the-art special effects and riveting action sequences showing World War II's Battle of the Atlantic. Hanks, who also wrote the screenplay, portrays a destroyer captain given his first command, leading a crucial Anglo-American convoy across the ocean, but facing destruction by wolf packs of German submarines. Based on a 1955 novel by C.S. Forrester, who also wrote the beloved Horatio Hornblower series, this film gives loving attention to the hero's profound Christian faith. Hanks shows the overburdened commander at prayer on multiple occasions while portraying the emotional bonds between men of every background facing danger together. As with Saving Private Ryan, where Hanks also starred, or the great John Adams miniseries, which he produced, Greyhound enriches our culture with an inspiring story of American heroism. I'm Michael Medved.
Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Gruska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040. And feel young again.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.